And it is good to see everybody. I'm glad to be back up here to present God's Word. And I do hope that I present God's Word in simplicity and its truth. If y'all ever hear anything that I might say that is not in accordance with God's will, please be my friend and bring it to my attention. My goal is to teach God's Word exactly the way He would have us to teach it. To make sure I rightly divide it. And this morning, you can see here, up here on the screen that I've got, is on fasting. Fasting is, many of us can probably say, I've probably never heard a sermon on fasting. I don't believe I've ever heard a sermon on fasting myself. Some of you probably have. It's something that I was thinking about a while back, and never did really get into it, a deep study in it. And then another brother here has mentioned about it, wrote it up on the back here for us, about bringing a sermon on it. So I've been working on this and spent a great deal of time looking at some things here in it, and even listening to other sermons that Brother Kevin found for me, that other men has preached on the topic. And so this morning I want us to look into fasting. I want us to look into some things. We do see fasting in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But do we understand why they were fasting and the importance of the fasting? I want us to look through God's Word to understand fasting better, and I want us to apply applications, if any, to us today. So here I got on the screen here. I got the Greek definition here of the word fasting. I've looked up, and you can see here it is to abstain from food or abstinence from the lack of food. In the world, I've heard many things talked about fasting in the world. Many people come up with many ideas to fast. I'm going to fast from certain things, do from this or that. And many speak of denying ourselves not only from food, but pleasure, material goods. But when we see fasting throughout God's Word, it is to abstain from food. And everywhere we see, this is used. This is what it is used for, to abstain from food. When we see fasting throughout God's Word, we don't look at it to focus on it to really see here what their purpose was on why they was fasting. And that's what I want us to look at today. I want us to really focus on the purpose. And then mainly the purpose we see is going to be the purpose to focus solely on God through prayer and humility. And by fasting that we see throughout God's Word, it does deal with the same for food. It does not deal with dieting. Many of us here today in the world, there's a diet. I'm going to do a diet here. I'm going to fast from this, fast from that. We do not see that in the Scripture. It is to abstain from food, and it was for a purpose. And we never see the purpose for diet or any other reason. So three things I want us to look at this morning in it. I want us to see what was the purpose of the fasting that we read about. We're going to look at that. I want us to look at, is it spoke of under the New Testament? And then should we fast today? And if so, why? So I want us to look into these things. Some questions maybe some of you may have had. Maybe some things that we never really talk about. But I want us to look into these things a little bit more deeply this morning. And here's kind of breaking it down. I do have here, mainly when we see fasting here in the Scriptures, it's usually always for some type of sorrow. And I broke it down a little bit more detail. I broke it down into three different categories here. We see fasting here where they were seeking guidance and counsel from God, and it's because they was sorrow for things that was going on in their life they needed help with, and so they were seeking counsel from God. The second one there, we're going to see a lot of is repentance from their sins with humility. They humbled themselves before God, realizing the iniquity and the sin they was in and how it separates them from God and how they wanted to correct that and how made them humble themselves, and then they fasted. We see many times through the Scripture because of that. And also we see from the Scripture different ones, they were cause of mourning and a time of distress. And all of these do deal with sorrow, some type of sorrow, but this kind of breaks it down a little bit more. And some we look at deal with two of these type of categories that I broke down. So I want us to kind of look into these things. But it is not for a show. And that's what I want us to bring out today. We're going to look into. It is not a show. And it is not for someone to put on and say, well, I'm more spiritual than you are. And we're going to look at that in Matthew chapter 6 later on in the lesson. It is definitely not for a show, and we're going to see it is more of a personal and private matter. It is something to be done in secret nowadays, and we will look at that. But it is nothing of a religious ceremony or type of thing like that. So I want us to look into these things this morning. I want us to go ahead and look in to see some things. I did have Josh read while to go from Judges chapter 20. The reason I chose that, because that is the first place that we see in the Scripture where fasting is mentioned. But now it is interesting, now back in Exodus chapter 34, Moses was on the mountain with God for 40 days and 40 nights, and he did not eat bread or water for those 40 days, just as our Lord and Savior, and we'll read about Matthew chapter 4, who fasted 40 days and 40 nights there, being tempted by the devil. And so we do see Moses there fasting, but it's not mentioned there. It just mentions he don't eat bread and water for those 40 days. But the first place we see fasting even mentioned is in Judges there. And that's where we're going to start at this morning. If y'all will get your Bibles, go ahead and turn back to Judges. We're going to kind of look through not at all the scriptures we see in throughout God's Word, but we are going to look at a lot of them. I want us to see everywhere we look, what was their purpose? I want us to all understand that. What was the purpose that they fasted for? So, if you will, let's go ahead and turn to there in Judges chapter 20, where Josh just read for us. I'm not going to read all that again, but I want us to look there. Kind of get the story here. This is where the children of Israel was going against the tribe of Benjamin here. And we all back up and read all that, but this is a crime that was committed there in Gibeah, that some of the evil men there who killed the man's concubine, they took advantage of her all night long and killed her. It was a great, horrific crime that was committed there. And so now the Israel is going against Benjamin here. They've now lost many, many of their men in battle already against Benjamin. And so now they went back again to God again there in verse 26. And it says, then all the children of Israel, that is all the people, went up and came to the house of God and wept. They sat there before the Lord and fasted that day until evening, and they offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And so now they went up before the Lord. A lot of sorrow here. They went up to battle twice and lost many soldiers here. And they up against, they've come to the house of God and they've wept. They're weeping before God and they sit before God and they have fasted that day until evening. And they offer burnt offerings and peace offerings. But why do they do that? And we see there in verse 27, so the children of Israel inquired of the Lord. And what did they inquire of the Lord? It was inquiring of the Lord. There in verse 28, Eleazar there saying, shall I yet go out to battle against the children of my brother Benjamin, or shall I cease? And the Lord said, go up, for tomorrow I will deliver them into your hand. And so now they've done this here to inquire of the Lord what they should do. And they was in great sorrow in doing that. They were seeking guidance and counsel on what they was doing. There was a purpose here for what they were doing. It was not for a show or any other reasons. Look there in Ezra. Well, we'll look to in Ezra. We're going to look at here some other reasons. I want to see here that we see them fasting. In Ezra chapter 8 there, starting in verse 21. Then I proclaimed a fast there at the river Ahava, that we might humble ourselves before our God to seek Him, to seek from Him the right way for us and our little ones and our possessions. For I was ashamed to request of the king an escort of soldiers and horsemen to help us against the enemy on the road, because we had spoken to the king, saying, the hand of God is upon all those for good who seek Him, but His power and His wrath are against all those who forsake Him. So we fasted and entreated our God for this, and He answered our prayer. So again, they're seeking that guidance and that counsel from God, and we see them fasting here. There in Daniel. So we'll turn over to Daniel here. In Daniel chapter 9, we see Daniel's prayer. Daniel chapter 9 there, starting in verse 2, it says, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books of the numbers of the years specified by the word of the Lord throughout Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolation of Jerusalem. Then I set my face toward the Lord God to make requests by prayer and supplications with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. And so, we're seeing here, they're seeking God out in these things. And this goes on there in verse 4. And I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome, God who keeps His covenant and those who keep His commandments, we have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from Your precepts and Your judgments. Neither have we heeded Your servants, the prophets, who spoke in Your name to our kings and princes, to our fathers, and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongs to You, but to us shame of face, as it is to this day to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and all Israel, those near and those far off in all the countries to which You have driven them, because of the unfaithfulness which they have committed against You. So here we kind of see two. You see here they've sinned against God here and done that, and so they humbled themselves here, but they're seeking guidance here and counsel from God. Let's look at some more here, more like we just seen from Daniel here. More of this repentance here. The repentance from their sins and their humility that they're showing by doing these things. If y'all will turn back to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel, we can see here more of this repentance type of attitude when they fasted. In 1 Samuel chapter 7. There in starting in verse 5, it says, And Samuel said, Gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord for you. So they gathered together at Mizpah, drew water, and poured it out before the Lord, and they fasted that day and said, We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel at Mizpah. And so, here we see them again. They're sinned against the Lord, and so we see them here fasting that day. We see here, because they're humbling themselves before God, they're realizing the sin. And I want us to make applications to that a little later on. Y'all would just bear with me. We're going to look at some of these, continue looking for more scriptures. I want us to really understand the reasons here they've done these things and what we ourselves can gather from this today. But they're in 1 Kings. I want us to look at 1 Kings chapter 21. 1 Kings 21, starting in verse 25. But there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do wickedness in the sight of the Lord, because Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up. And most of us here know the story of Ahab, who was a wicked king, and things here he has done. And here, verse 26, and it says, He had behaved very abominably in following idols, according to all that the Amorites had done, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. So it was, when Ahab heard those words, that he tore his clothes and he put sackcloth on his body and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went about mourning. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah, the Tishbite, saying, See how Ahab has humbled himself before me. Because he has humbled himself before me, I will not bring the calamity in his days. In the days of his son, I will bring the calamity on his house. So it's interesting here, we even see here wicked Ahab here. When he was told these things by Elijah, that he humbled himself. He humbled himself. He covered himself in sackcloth and ashes. He went about mourning and he fasted. And because of this, the Lord said, because he has humbled himself, I will not bring this calamity upon his days. So, we need to see the attitude here that they have. We need to think about ourselves. When we ourselves sin, do we see sin as what it is? It is an evil thing. Sin is something that separates us from God. Sin is something that should not be in our lives. And when it is brought to our attention, when sin is brought to our attention that we have sin in our life, what does it make us do? Does it make us feel wretched and miserable? It should make us feel that bad. It should make us humble before our God. It should make us humble before Him. We have an attitude of wanting that forgiveness, wanting to cleanse our lives from that sin. We should have these type of attitudes that we're looking at here from these. They're even in Nehemiah. Back in Nehemiah again, I want to look there at another one here. Nehemiah chapter 9. I know it's a lot of flipping back and forth here, but I just want us to really understand these things. If we're going to look and see what the fasting here was, their purposes, I want us to see here when they fasted, what they fasted for. chapter 9 there, Nehemiah, verse 1, so now on the 24th day of this month, the children of Israel were assembled with fasting and sackcloth and with dust on their head. Then those of the Israelites' lineage separated themselves from all foreigners, and they stood and confessed their sins and the iniquities of their fathers. And they stood up in their place and read from the book of the law of the Lord their God for one fourth of the day, and for another fourth they confessed and they worshiped their Lord their God. So think about here, they've come together for these things now. They've stood and confessed their sins. And this is when they come before, they assemble together with fasting and a sackcloth. Some of you might consider this fasting here, just having listened to us long-winded preachers up here, thinking, well, this is fasting, but this is nothing. You see here what they've done. They have come together with dust on their heads and humbled themselves with fasting and sackcloth. We've seen a lot of times in the Old Testament referred to when they've done this, which shows humility, which come before God. But yet, we just read there, they stood up in their place and they read from the book of the law of the Lord for one-fourth of the day. And then the other fourth of the day, they worshiped. They confessed their sins and worshiped the Lord. And so, think about that. How long they were doing these things. Sometimes we think it's just terrible to come together for an hour sometimes to listen to God's Word. But hey, one-fourth of their day they was committed to the reading of the law, and then one-fourth of the day was to confess their sins. Have we ever confessed our sins for one-fourth of the day? Think about the sins here they committed. But this is something serious. They fasted during this time. And during this time, we think about this fasting. Why was they fasting? Was this a time to be eating? When they fasted, when confessing their sins, and we're looking at these ones, when they come together confessing their sins, when we confess our sins, we realize what sin has done and we have got sin in our lives, is that a time for us to be eating? Or do we sit around eating at the table and say, Lord, forgive me? No, that's the time that we devote to God to say, Lord, I have sinned against you. I have sinned against you and I want this sin out of my life. I need forgiveness of this. It's not a time to be eating. It's a time for mourning. It's a time of mourning that we should have in our lives when we have sin in our lives. Look at their attitudes. It's something else. We get from this from looking at fasting is look at their attitudes that they had towards sin. Psalms. We'll turn them to Psalms real briefly. Let's look at a couple in Psalms. But Psalm 35, verse 13, we see, But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled myself with fasting, and my prayer will return to my own heart. Here, how did he humble himself? He humbled himself with fasting here. He humbled himself before God. He done that with the fasting here. There in chapter 69 of Psalms there. Chapter 69 there in verse 10 of Psalms, we see, when I wept and chastened my soul with fasting, that became my reproach. So he wept and he chastened his soul. How did he chasten his soul? With fasting there. He chastened his soul with fasting. And so, there in Joel, I'm going to read on over to Joel. There in Joel chapter 2, starting in verse 12. It says, Now therefore says the Lord, Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Kind of stop there for a minute. Look at that. There in Joel chapter 2. And when Joel tells him to turn, the Lord says, Turn to me with all your heart. The Lord wants us to turn to Him with all our heart. The Lord wants us to serve Him, to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. That's what He's wanting here. He's wanting that repentance here from them. He's wanting them to turn back to Him. And he says to do that with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Well, every time we see this fasting here, when they're doing this, when they have this attitude here, God wanting them to turn back, this fasting here was with weeping and mourning. This was a sad, sorrow time here. This was not a time for anything else, but to get ourselves back right with God. He tells them there, So rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful. Slow to anger and great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord, from the Lord your God. So, we see the attitude here that they have. Let's look here at some now with mourning. I'm not going to look at all these here. We can kind of look through some of them I've got. But, with their attitude here, we see many of them in time here of mourning, when they had this time of death, maybe a time of distress, we see them fasting here as well. But this was a sorrowful times here. Let's read there. Well, I'll look over some of these, but there in 1 Samuel 31:13. That is where Saul now and his sons now has died. And the valiant men here went back. They've got Saul's body there from the wall, and they brought it. They burned them and brought back the bones, and they buried him under the tree there. And when they done these things, they fasted for 7 days, mourning here, for Saul and his sons here. They're in 2 Samuel, chapter 1. Now this was David himself, and David and his men here has found out about this. David and his men fasted until evening for Saul's death. They fasted as well. The time of mourning here. 2 Samuel, chapter 12, verse 16. This here is when David's son here from Bathsheba, when the sin that was committed there, we know that there, it's even talked about there when it's mentioned there that from David's son here, how he mourned and how he fasted until his child died. When his child died, he got up, cleansed himself, and went and ate. But during that time that sickness came upon his son, until then, until death, he fasted. Because he was in time of sorrow, a time of mourning. Prayed to God, wanting God to save his son. One I want to look at there is Nehemiah. Yeah, we'll turn in Nehemiah chapter 1 again. We've looked at Nehemiah a few times, but let's look there again at some things. But during these times here of the stress and mourning, these people fasted. This was not a time to be eating, to be doing other things. This was a time focused on sorrow and to God. There in Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 1. The word of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chisleph, in the 20th year that I was in Shushan, the citadel, that Hananiah, one of my brethren, came with me from Judah, and I asked him concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. This was a time of sorrow. This was a time that troubled his soul, realized the things that was going on, and he mourned. And he prayed to God. He wept. We see here the attitudes here. There in Esther, we're not going to look at that one, but there in Esther chapter 4 and verse 3 there, we see them have fasting and weeping and wailing. And this was made after the king's decree there. We know the king's decree had come against the Jews there. When they heard that decree, it come from the king. There was fasting, weeping, and wailing. This was the time to go to God in prayer. So look at these things, understand these things. But now I want us to look at some things here that we see for the wrong purposes. Many today probably out there in the religious world who does this, maybe do it for a religious ritual or do it for things that's not for the right purpose. Here we see some here in Scripture I want us to look at. We see them for the wrong purpose. There in Isaiah. So we'll turn me to Isaiah chapter 58. We look at some here that was not fasting for the right reasons. There in Isaiah chapter 58, there in verses 1 through 5, says, cry aloud, spare not, lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions, and the house of Jacob their sins. Yet they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways. As a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the ordinances of their God. They ask of me the ordinances of justice. They take delight in approaching God. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen? Why have we afflicted our souls and you take no notice? This is what the children of Israel are saying. Why have we done this, Lord? Why have we fasted? That you say, and you have not seen. Why have you afflicted our souls and you take no notice to us, Lord? These are people, Lord says here to them, tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. He says, but yet they seeking me daily. They seeking me daily and they delight to know my ways, but yet they're not willing to do my ordinances. They're not living to live as I have them to live and they're seeking me out. But let's read on there. There in verse 4. Indeed, you fast for strife and debate, the Lord says, and to strike with the fist of wickedness. You will not fast as you do this day to make your voice heard on high. Is it a fast that I have chosen? No, it is not what God's saying. This is not a fast that I have chosen. He says, a day for a man to afflict his soul. That's what the Lord has chosen for. That's what the Lord says here in Isaiah chapter 5. Is it a fast that I have chosen? A day for a man to afflict his soul. That's what that fast the Lord wants from them. Is it to bow down his head like a bulrush and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Would you call this a fast and acceptable day to the Lord? Their fast here was not acceptable. The Lord tells them here what He does expect of them, what is acceptable. But their fast here was for what? They fasted for strife and debate. They was not fasting the way God wanted it to be. They was not fasting with here to afflict their souls, as God mentioned. But if you will look over Zechariah. Now Zechariah, we see here some more here that they were fasting for themselves. In Zechariah chapter 7, it says, now in the fourth year of King Darius it came to pass that the word of the Lord came to Zechariah on the fourth day of the ninth month, Chisholm, when the people sent Sherezer with Regem-Melech and his men to the house of God to pray before the Lord. So, let's read on there. It says, to the house of God to pray before the Lord and to ask the priests who were in the house of the Lord of hosts and the prophets, saying, should I weep in the fifth month and fast as I have done for so many years? Then the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, say to all the people of the land and to the priests, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh months during these 70 years, did you really fast for me? For me, he says. This is God speaking here. For me? When you eat and when you drink, do you not eat and drink for yourselves? Should you not have obeyed the word which the Lord proclaimed through the former prophets when Jerusalem and the cities around it were inhabited and prosperous, and the south and the lowland were inhabited? So what were they fasting for? They were fasting for themselves. The Lord said, were you really fasting for me? No, they were not. He said, when you fasted and mourned there in verse 5, and all these in these months y'all done this, in the fifth and seventh months, did you really fast for me? Well, no, they weren't. They were fasting for themselves. So there is a wrong way to fast too. There is a purpose for their fasting. There is wrongs that we see here from doing these things. Let's look here briefly now in the fasting here we see in the New Testament. Some of these still we know under the old law here, but I just want us to look at them here that's mentioned here under Jesus' teachings. There in Matthew, I'm not going to turn to all these right here, but Matthew chapter 4 there is where we see the Lord, after He was baptized, went out into the wilderness, and He was fasting 40 days and 40 nights there in the wilderness, and tempted by the devil. Read that real briefly, because I wanted to bring out something here. And Matthew, I was reading that last part there, Matthew 4, when the devil was tempting Him, he says, now when the tempter came, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 3, now when the tempter came to Him, He said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. 40 days and 40 nights, no food. Think about Moses again, 40 days and 40 nights without food. It's not possible with us today. People think that's not even possible. What did they live by? Words of God. What was Moses doing on the mountain? He was speaking with God. And we see here what Jesus here was seeking out. And so, in Deuteronomy, I want to kind of bring out real briefly, in Deuteronomy chapter 8, and we actually studied Deuteronomy now on Wednesday night class with Kevin. There in Deuteronomy chapter 8 there, look there in verse 2 and 3, it says, and you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His commandments or not. So He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's how we live, by the words that proceed from the mouth of the Lord. And I just thought it was very interesting to think about these things. So when you're fasting, you realize when they're doing things with the Lord and they're seeking God out with counsel and they're seeking Him out with repentance of sins, and when they have times of mourning, that's not a time to be eating. It's time to seek God. It's a time to devote our time to Him. when they've done these things. So Matthew chapter 17, we're not going to look at that one. There in 21, he talks about there casting out them demons. And his apostles come to him, he said, it can only be done except by prayer and fasting. We see that a lot in the New Testament Scripture, prayer and fasting. There in Luke 2:37, we see Anna, a prophetess, who served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And so she served God here with fastings and prayer night and day. There in Acts 10, let's look at a few of these in Acts 10 before we add a few applications real quick. But Acts chapter 10, we see here, there in verse 30. So Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. So this is Cornelius here, fasting here before he was told here to send for men here to Peter. And so even Cornelius here, we see Cornelius fasting here in Acts 13 there, verse 2 and 3. We see, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and they sent them away. And so this here is under the New Testament. This here is, they've here now separated Saul and Barnabas here for the work here that the Lord has called them out to be. And so when they have fasted and prayed here, then they laid the hands on them and they sent them away. And so we can look at a few more. Just look at one more there in 14:23 there of Acts. It says, so when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. So think about these times we're looking at here, that they fasted and prayed, and they're doing these important works. When they're appointing elders and doing these things here, is this a time for eating? Is this a time for social fellowship? This is a time that somebody should be devoting to God. Time that they devote to God is not a time to be eating. It is a time to devote to God for spiritualness, to seek God out, and His counsel out for what we should do. That's the attitudes that we see from these ones we look at. And in 1 Corinthians 7, I'm not going to look at that one either. That's just where the husband and wife there, they are not to separate for a time unless they with consent, and it's to be done with prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting. We see that a lot there in the New Testament. So when we look at these things today, do we ask ourselves, should we fast today if it is for the right reasons? We know there's wrong reasons to fast. So to get to that last point I wanted to make, should we fast today? Well, if it's for the right reasons. There in Matthew chapter 6, one of the last scriptures I want us to look at. It's a very important one. Y'all, we'll turn to Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew chapter 6, there starting in verse 16. This is Jesus here speaking here. Talking to his apostles. He says, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with a sad countenance. For they disfigured their faces, that they may appear to men to be fasting. Or surely, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, so that you do not appear to be men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in secret, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So what type of is this supposed to be? It's not a show, as we've talked about. It's not to advertise our righteousness. Hey, look, I'm more righteous than you. I fasted last week. I've done this. And that's not what it's for. It is to be a private matter. It is to be something of a personal activity. It's not a religious ritual. But you look here again, there in Matthew chapter 6, there in even 16, Matthew 6:16, he says, moreover, when you fast. Ain't that interesting? Then look there in verse 17, he says, but you, when you fast, that when there, when you fast. Is God expecting them to fast? I believe so. We see from Scripture on in it that while they was with Christ, also while they're with Him, had the bridegroom, they're not no need for it. But when He left, there was a need for it. So, think about it ourselves today. But we need to think about the reasons for it that we mentioned. In fasting, what about fasting? We might mention, fasting is for a certain length of time. Well, we see here different times. 1 Samuel 31, there it talks about they fasted for 7 days. David and his men until evening on 2 Samuel. And Jeremiah 36:6, that was a day there of fasting. Daniel chapter 6, 18, there was a night there that the king there fasting. So this is a period of time devoted totally to God, even denying ourselves a body and food. That's what the purpose is for. When there's times in life, there may come times in our lives where we need to seek God out. We need to really seek God out and count. There may be times we have sin in our life and we need to really humble ourselves and realize that I have sin in my life. I do not need this transgression that I have caused against my Lord and Savior. And that is not a time to be eating. That is a time to be fasting and mourning. That is a time of weeping should be in our lives. We need to see sin as that bad. So we see the purposes here of fasting. It's to seek guidance and counsel from God. Repentance from our sins and showing humility. It is a time of mourning and a time of distress. So there in these times in our lives, God needs all our attention and not time for eating. Sometimes we need to humble ourselves and focus solely on God, still today. But it is not a, it is a personal thing. It is nothing to be spoke of what you're doing. It is something to be done in secret when we do these things. And so, understand anything. But to understand, just to fast, just to be fasting because you see them do it in the Scriptures, that would be like taking the Lord's Supper, not knowing what you're taking the Lord's Supper for. You're not doing it for no reason. You're doing it for the damnation then. But when we are to fast, we need to understand why we do it, and it needs to be a secret thing. It's nothing to be done publicly. It is nothing to be done for show. So I hope we've answered a lot of our questions in looking through these things. That we have we looked into God's Word. We've seen why they fasted in the Old Testament. I hope we understand now the purposes that they had behind it. And I hope it answered any questions today for us. When we might ask ourselves, well, should I fast today? Well, if there's times of sorrow in your life that you need to straighten out, or you need to seek counsel, or you need to repent from sins, or even time of mourning. We see people in time of death now. They don't eat when they have gone through problems like that, when they're going through death and sorrow. So, yes, there may be times for that reason, but these times here are not for show. They are a personal matter. And so I hope we've answered some questions on that for you today, and I hope I've got some encouragement from it. But as always, we open up the invitation here for those who might need to become a child of God, those who want to turn their life over to God, to faithfully obey Him, to obey the gospel, to repent of your sins, to confess Him, and to be buried with Him in the water grave of baptism to be put on Christ. And so you have that opportunity now if you need to do that, or maybe some here you might need to confess your sins, or repent of their sins, or any other reason we might can help you. We bid you come now as we stand and sing a song that's been selected.